Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. We got some crazy cool stuff to talk about. I kind of went over the website a little bit, but admittedly, I'm still a little confused. So I do have some more questions about that. But please allow me to introduce my guest today, Deidre Johnson. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, today is a nice mild day, as we talked about in the pre-recording. So
it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
It is. This is the perfect kind of day for, you know, doing what we need to do.
Absolutely. I'm actually going to go downtown a little later on and do a drive-by of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. Because of COVID, we can't go in because they're limiting crowds so much, right? So I'm going to meet a friend. We're going to take a gander at that beautiful tree. And then we're going to go have a cocktail.
Oh, there you go. I was lucky enough to see that last December around Christmas time. We took a trip down to the city and we were taking a horse carriage ride.
Oh, nice.
And we went past Rockefeller Center and Times Square and all that. It was really beautiful.
So gorgeous.
Yeah.
These are the times that I'm really happy that I live in New York City.
Yeah, especially when things aren't so cramped and busy right now, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of jump right into this about, you know, why you're here and what we have to talk about. And the first thing I kind of want to touch on and get your input is your VO part of your career.
Yes.
Now, are you kind of like exclusively commercials, video, like instructional videos, or do you do like cartoons, or what extent do you do voice work?
Well, my voiceover career is really at the beginning. I'm still in the being coached stages. I'm working out with Larry Hudson, who has a workout group every Saturday. I think he does it Wednesdays and Saturdays. So I work out with this group. What we do is we get together, we read copy, we direct one another, and we have a really great time. It's a very supportive community. My background is also as an actor. I did some theater work for a while on some off-Broadway stages, and I met some incredible people. And I also had the opportunity to sing at the famous duplex cabaret here in New York City, down on Greenwich Village, on Christopher Street. So that was a really great time of my life. So acting and singing, they are things that I've always wanted to do my entire life, and I just never did it. And at some point, I thought, you know, if I don't do this, one day it may be too late. You know, I was very unfortunate to have lost my mother when she was in her 40s. So as I approached 40, I thought, you know, tomorrow I could die tomorrow and I will never have tried any of these things, right? So I started taking classes at HB Studios, and then I took some other classes at the Atlantic Theater Company. And then I joined a theater, an off-Broadway theater group. And it was just wonderful. I got to do a little Shakespeare. I got to do some comedy, and it was just a wonderful time. So I want to keep that creative part of my life alive. So that's why I headed down the path of voiceover. And it's, I think people think that voiceover is easy. And I think they think that I had somebody I met at a New Year's party last year at a friend's house, and he had a great voice, right? And so I happened to say, hey, you got a really nice voice. And then I left it at that. And as we spoke, we talked about what we did. And I said, well, I'm working my way into voiceovers. But at this point, I had been coaching and doing all the stuff that I needed to do. And he, I don't know what he did. He did something else. But I ran into him on the street and he said, "Ooh, can you send me some information about how to become a voice actor?" And I said, sure. And I sent him a whole slew of stuff. You have to get coaching. You have to take acting classes. You have to do a little improv. You have to investigate equipment. join some voiceover groups and just watch and see what people talk about. Never heard from him again.
People don't realize what a commitment it is. You know, it's
super, super commit. A lot of money and a lot of commitment. And it's not about your voice, right?
Right.
It's about your interpretation and your ability to tell a story in a way that is beneficial to the listener, the buyer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so it's much more than the voice. Mm-hmm. And even in the beginning, when I first started, Larry Hudson would say, "You're listening to yourself. You're listening to yourself." And I'd think, "What are you talking about?" And then I'd listen back and I'd go, "Oh, I was making it sound pretty."
Right. Yeah.
And it's not about sounding pretty. Right.
Exactly.
Am I clear? Am I getting the point across? What is the point of this story? Am I making that clear? Am I saying something that people want to hear more of? Right. And it's not about the pretty.
Exactly.
It's, yeah.
You know, doing what needs to be done.
Doing what needs to be done. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But talking about, you know, pretty, have you considered trying for Broadway shows?
No. No. I enjoyed working on Broadway, and when I was really auditioning a lot and thinking, you know, that I would try to become an actor, my focus wasn't really on Broadway, because my internal clock is like, I'm a lark, I'm up in the morning, and at night I'm ready for bed. So even when I was doing some cabaret stuff, right, we get there at 8, right? And then maybe I go up at 10, and I'm thinking, I want to be sleeping right now. I was much more drawn to television.
That's fair.
And the idea of being on camera.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I think there's a part of me that was always like, if I'm on Broadway, if I'm on stage, I'm a flub a line, and that'll be just horrible. Which is not, right?
Right.
It just can lead to another beautiful moment. But I think I was always drawn to on camera more. But you know, I had to work, so it was really hard to, and I'm a physical therapist by trade, so I couldn't just say, so can you see my patients right now? Because I have to go on an audition.
Yeah, I gotta go do this thing.
I'll be back in a couple of hours. Just hold it down for me for a little bit.
That's great. Is there like a TV show or a project that you would really like to be part of?
You know, I've always loved Law and Order. Mm. Those shows I love. Where I'd be able to play something either very dramatic, where I'd be, you know, having to, I don't know, just be like the authority, the person who is, you know, in charge, or something comedic. Because whenever I was in class, I was always given scripts that were sort of wacky and funny. So people always saw that thing in me, although I didn't see it in myself. But once I got the copy of the script and I was doing the role, yeah, I said, okay, yeah, I can see it. I can be kind of funny.
Well, you got to be careful not to get typecast, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But let me see. And this is the funny thing. Even though I was always drawn to acting, I can't say that I have a favorite, or I had a favorite actress, right? Mm-hmm. I could tell you like my top 5 favorite actors, right? Gene Hackman, mm-hmm. Al Pacino, Denzel Washington, Don Cheadle, Bobby De Niro.
That's a wonderful, right? Top 5.
And then I was always like stretching for my favorite actress. I would say Alfre Woodard is, you know, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great ones. Meryl Streep, for sure.
Absolutely.
I really loved Kathleen Turner, especially in the beginning of her career. And I think it might have been because of that husky voice that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there was that famous, that movie that she did, one of her first, I think it was Body Heat, that she did with William Hurt that was,
oh,
it was really amazing.
Yeah.
And Liz Taylor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? She was incredible.
Well, there you go. Now that's a list.
Incredible, yeah.
That's amazing. And, you know, people don't really think about the effects that those kind of people have in their lives until they start going for something like you are.
Right.
So kind of turning the tables a little bit and having you affecting someone else's life as a beginner yourself and learning all these things about the VO industry. What advice, you know, you kind of touched on this with your story earlier. What advice would you give somebody like directly that comes up to you and says, you know, I'm getting into VO work. What is the most important thing I should focus on?
Why you want to do it, right? Because if you don't have a strong why as to why you want to do it, you may get disheartened, right, along the way.
Uh-huh.
And that's for anything that you decide that you want to do. If you don't have a strong enough why am I doing this? Why am I spending all this money on training? Why am I spending all this money on equipment? Why am I doing all these auditions and no one is telling me yes? Then you're not going to do it. You have to have a strong why. It has to be like, this really gives me joy. I really love this community. I really want to be creative. I really enjoy the process of auditioning, because if you don't enjoy the process of auditioning, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
And then you have to think of it. The other part of it that I think people don't think about is that it is a business, and you have to know about marketing, and you have to know about billing and collecting payments and accounting and all that stuff. And, you know, that's kind of like, nobody wants to do that, but it's super important. So I would say that the biggest thing to know is why. Then you have to get coaching. And then you have to practice, and you have to practice, and you have to practice, and you have to do a little something every day to further your technique and your skills. And just, you know, get on some voiceover groups and just, you don't even have to participate, just watch. Read and learn and see what people are saying about the career, right? I think that are the things that I would say first, and then understand that you're going to expend much more money in the beginning than you're going to get back, right?
Isn't that a sad truth?
Yep, and don't expect that, you know, your first 10 auditions are going to result in a yes.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
Right. You're going to hear a lot more no's.
And that's with acting too. And, you know, I had been in situations where I'd go for a read, go to do a partner read for the director.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wouldn't get it, because there was one I went to where they just wanted someone taller.
Oh my gosh.
So the partner that I read with said, you were by far the best one, but they just wanted somebody taller.
No.
You can't, you know, you can't help that.
Right.
You cannot control that. You can walk into an audition and give the audition of your life, and you remind the director or the casting agent of their sister-in-law that they hate. You're not getting that role.
That's true.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? And the same thing with voice acting, is just someone's interpretation was just what they wanted, or the sound of the voice was something they wanted, or that little improv was something that set you off from everybody else. Right. So it's those are the little things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that insight. I hope that anybody listening kind of takes that to heart, and maybe that'll help them either decide this isn't for them and not waste a lot of effort, or maybe they'll say, oh, okay, that's what I need to do. I need to buckle down and really get after it.
That's right.
So thank you very much for that. Now, I kind of want to shift directions a little bit, because you have another facet of yourself that I want to talk about that is equally as interesting to me. Because, again, I perused the website. I got nothing. So let's talk about your other endeavor that you've created. My other endeavor.
Yes. So by background, I am a massage therapist and physical therapist. I've been these two things for over 25 years. And so on the day-to-day, what pays my rent and the bills is that of being a physical therapist. But in working as a therapist, right? People are coming in, they're in pain, you try to get them out of pain.
Right.
And unless they've had a surgical intervention or a fall, some pain just comes because they're sitting at a computer for 10 hours a day, or because they're sleeping on the wrong mattress, they're using the wrong pillow, something other than a traumatic injury. Or people are coming in pain because of some area of their life that's not fulfilled, right? There are any number of patients that I've seen who were in pain and there was nothing organically wrong. And the minute that I start working on them, they start talking about, I hate my job, my girlfriend left me. You know, it's all these other psychological stresses that started to impact them, and that's why they're in pain. Or they're doing so much for others, no one's doing for them. So the hour that they're with me, I'm taking care of them and they can get all of their needs met there.
Uh-huh.
So I decided that what I wanted to do was, I didn't want to do physical therapy the way physical therapy is done, where you're in an office and you're seeing like 20 patients a day. I didn't feel that was effective. So I wanted to create my own thing. So what was I calling this thing? I wanted to give it a name that really kind of encapsulated what I feel about the human body. And I decided on the name Oikonomics. Oikos is the Greek word for home, right?
Oh.
And nomics, like ergonomics, is the study of, economics is the study of, right? So oikos is home, nomics is the study of. And my feeling was, your body is your home. So any place you are for any extended amount of time, like you're sitting there right now,
mm-hmm.
that's your home.
Right.
And your home has to be comfortable, right? So there's a way to sit. There's a specific chair to sit on. There's a way to put your computer monitor so that you're ergonomically aligned. So I wanted to bring all the aspects of what I do to this business. So massage and physical therapy and ergonomics, because I have a certification as an ergonomic assessment specialist. So I wanted to bring all of that, all those services in one space and try to treat people under that umbrella. And then COVID hit.
Ouch.
And so people are not trying to get massages. They're not trying to let strangers in their houses for ergonomic assessments. They're not trying to do physical therapy in person right now.
Right, right, yep.
So I said, how can I shift this? And then I thought that because there is a wellness component to everything that we do, I started to think, okay, well, I can make this a wellness space where people can contact me if they have issues about, you know, I can talk to you and we can discuss what your home is like in terms of your bed, your pillows, your whatever. But let's make it even more than that. I started thinking, well, what is wellness? When people think of wellness, what do you think of when you hear the word wellness?
Like, feeling good.
The absence of illness, right?
Right, yeah.
either physically or psychologically. But this deeper, much deeper than that, there are components to wellness. There are eight of them, right? There is your emotional wellness. How do you relate to people in your life? How do you react to situations? Do you reflexively react if somebody knocks into you on the street? Do you curse them out? Or do you just say sorry, even if it wasn't your fault? Because if you do engage them, what's that going to look like? You don't know, right? So there's emotional wellness, your ability to react in a positive versus negative way. There's environmental wellness on a macro level. Are you taking care of the environment? Do you litter? Is your carbon footprint wide or is it small? Do you conserve energy? And on a micro level, what's your home space like? Is it comforting when you walk in your door? Do you want to be there? When you shut your door, are you happy to be home? Or is there a mess to be dealt with, which is another form of stress, right? There's financial. What does your money look like? Is that another source of stress because you don't have enough of it? Right? That is stress, right? And people think of money, people go, oh, well, you know, money is not important. Money is important in that it gives you options, right? It determines what kind of medical care you get, what kind of dental care you get, like all those things, right?
Yeah.
You have emotional, environmental, you have financial, you have intellectual. Are you stimulating your mind? Are you reading books? Are you learning something new all the time? Or are you stuck? And if you have a feeling of not being in motion in your life, that's a form of stress as well. And then there's social. Do you have people in your life that reflect areas of your life? Like if you're reading, do you have a book club of people where you can connect where they're doing that thing? Or do you have, if you like to crochet or knit or play music, do you have those connections with those people so that you have a broad social network? Then there's spiritual. Do you have a spiritual practice that connects you? Whether it's religious, right? Whether you go to church or whether you meditate, and are you making those people a part of your life? So I just wanted to bring all those components to wellness. And if people call me about or connect with me about like a physical aspect that's bothering them, I could then correct those things. And if they still have problems, we can delve deeper into the other components, right? Because if one of those components isn't met, then you will have micro levels of stress. And micro levels of stress chronically can lead to depression and pain, right? Okay. So I want to give people the opportunity to explore those with me. And if they need something more than what I can offer them, I can just make, you know, I have a group of professionals in other areas of health that I can make recommendations to. So.
Well, all right.
So that's the way that I wanted to practice wellness. Because we're whole people.
Right.
And we're multifaceted. And all those need to be addressed. It can't just be, my arm hurts. Why? Did you do anything different? No. Okay. What's going on in your life?
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah.
That's crazy. How can people contact you?
They can go to my website, which is www.oikonomics. Wait a second.
Waiting a second.
Wait a second. This is my book that I wrote.
Awesome.
So let me spell oikonomics because people go, what? So it's www.oikonomics.com. leoeffects.com. Or they can call me at 347-292-8527.
Wonderful. And I'm going to provide a link to your website in the description of the podcast and video on YouTube. So okay. One-click shopping.
Yay!
And who knows, maybe after things get a little bit better and, you know, this whole COVID thing kind of subsides a little bit, business will probably be booming, because I imagine that people are going to be pretty stressed out and ready for a massage.
Really, yeah, for sure. And I'm just hoping for, you know, a rapid end to this once, now that we have a possibility of a solution in sight.
And, absolutely.
I just want people to wear their masks and stay away from one another for now anyway. I mean, it's very difficult, right? Not being able to hang out in a restaurant with your friends, and it is very difficult, but we have to take care of each other now by staying away from each other.
That's exactly right.
Let's put the mask on so the vaccines can work.
Right. Now, do you have any social medias that people can follow you on?
Yes, I'm on Facebook, Oikonomics 13. I'm on Twitter, Oikonomics Health. No. I'm not on Twitter so much. Instagram, Oikonomics Health.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. Well, again, I will provide links to those. So hopefully people can get on over there nice and easy and follow along and see what's going on with you, and maybe learn a thing or two along the way.
Thank you very much, Leo.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on the show today. It was an absolute delight talking to you. And hopefully in the future, maybe when all this is over and you've got some more stuff coming out, and maybe when you're on Broadway, you can come back on and
Law and Order SBU.
There you go.
Chicago PD.
Right. We'll talk about that.
That'd be fun.
Again, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And thank you to everybody who tuned in to check this out. Make sure to get over and click these links and get over there to the socials and the website and order. Get that book and get yourself better. This is the time to do it. Everybody's stressed out right now. We could all use a little calm sanity in our lives. So thank you all very much for watching, and we'll see you all next time. Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.